When Rick Ross's private jet touched down in Colombia for what should have been a quick dental appointment, a gate agent delivered unexpected news. Borders might soon close due to a mysterious virus. This warning marked the beginning of a global pandemic that would wipe millions in expected revenue from Ross's calendar, overnight canceled festivals, award shows, residencies, and tours. The timing was particularly ironic. Ross had likely already battled COVID-19 months earlier after performances in Dubai and Saudi Arabia, struggling through subsequent shows with severe breathing difficulties. With his 2020 schedule suddenly cleared, Ross retreated to the Promised Land, his sprawling 235-acre Georgia estate. While fans might imagine him lounging poolside surrounded by beautiful women, the reality was different. This unexpected pause became the crucible for distilling the business philosophy that transformed William Leonard Roberts II from a correctional officer into one of hip-hop's most successful entrepreneurs, a philosophy he calls bossing up. When the pandemic struck, Rick Ross could have easily justified taking the year off. After all, who would blame him for accepting financial losses during unprecedented global circumstances? But Ross operates by a different code. The game ain't based on sympathy. No government was cutting him PPP checks because his Vegas residency got canceled. A good excuse, even a legitimate one, doesn't pay bills. Instead of making excuses, Ross immediately sought ways to offset his lost show money. He could lock himself in the studio and knock out guest verses that remained in high demand. He could promote his various brands on social media. He could even pitch another book to his publishers. His first quarantine purchase revealed his mindset, a John Deere 5090E tractor. Unlike his collection of Rolls Royces and Ferraris that depreciate with time, this was an asset. When Ross purchased the Promised Land, formerly Villa Vittoriosa, from J.P. Morgan for $5.8 million after boxing legend Evander Holyfield lost it to foreclosure, he learned that Holyfield had accumulated $500,000 in landscaping debt alone. By cutting his own grass, Ross avoided this expense while finding unexpected meditation in the hours spent riding his tractor across the property. This solitude led to discovery, like the barn that once housed Holyfield's gym and later his failed record label. Ross immediately saw potential to transform it into a production studio for his Maybach Films division. The pandemic forced him to see opportunities right in front of him that he'd been too busy chasing his next $100 million to notice. The most dangerous aspect of excuses is that many make perfect sense. The bank might genuinely reject your loan application. You might truly lack industry connections. But as Ross puts it, your goals don't give a fuck about your excuses. Michael Jordan still scored 38 points with the flu. Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open on a broken leg. Tom Brady came back from a 28-3 deficit in the Super Bowl. The greats had good excuses too. They just refused to use them. Being a boss isn't determined by your bank balance. It's about taking control of your life rather than riding passenger. When Ross sees someone with vision, a roadmap, and the heart to overcome obstacles, he recognizes a boss in the making, regardless of their current circumstances. Early in his rap career, Ross was so broke he lived in DJ Greg Street's basement while his mother covered his car payments. When traveling for shows, he often slept in his truck because hotel money wasn't available. Yet he was already meeting legends like Tony Draper, Jay Prince, and Scarface, who were shocked when they later read about his struggles because he carried himself like a boss from day one. This same recognition led Ross to collaborate with Drake long before he became a global superstar. When they first met, Drake was just Lil Wayne's protege, a black Jew from Canada who both rapped and sang when nobody was on that wave. But Ross saw a young boss in the making and featured him on Aston Martin Music, which became Ross's first double platinum single. Ross emphasizes the critical difference between carrying yourself like a boss because you believe in yourself versus being a fraudulent con artist. In today's social media age, people pay to take fake private jet photos for Instagram. That's hustling backward, building a house of cards instead of an empire. Real success comes from putting in work when no one's watching, not from accumulating likes online. The process isn't as glamorous as the finished product, but it's what matters. If you want to be a boss, first master being a worker.
Ross has built over a dozen successful business ventures, but he couldn't diversify until he first mastered his primary craft, making music. This reveals a crucial principle. You can't succeed at many things until you've proven yourself at one. Don't be a jack of all trades and master of none. When starting out, narrow your focus. No matter how grand your dreams, you must start small with a proper game plan. Being active isn't the same as being effective. If you want to catch fish, don't run into the ocean grabbing with bare hands. Build a fishing rod first. Before you earn, you must learn. The best advice Ross ever received came from his mentor, Big Mike, a respected Miami hustler. You gotta have game if you wanna get work. As a young man, Ross was frustrated when Big Mike wouldn't immediately put him in position, but later understood the wisdom. How could someone trust him with significant responsibility when he hadn't proven himself handling smaller tasks in his own neighborhood? Having game means possessing knowledge, studying those who succeeded before you and learning from their stories. After acquiring game comes experience. Focus first on mastering your craft and building value. Don't obsess over money yet. When you become a specialist, money naturally follows. Set ambitious but attainable goals and celebrate small victories along the way. Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000-hour rule theorizes that success in any field requires approximately 10,000 hours of dedicated practice, about 20 hours weekly for 10 years. This timeline aligns perfectly with Ross's journey. He left his football scholarship in 1995 to pursue rapping and got his big break with Hustlin' almost exactly a decade later. Hustlin' wasn't luck. It represented the culmination of everything Ross had learned. He originally rapped with complex flows and received little attention. Through disappointment, he discovered that hit records need simple melodies and repetitive hooks. Years of ghostwriting for other artists allowed him to experiment with different perspectives and flows until he found what worked. Those early years involve pain and sacrifice. The lean years, when you invest blood, sweat, and tears with minimal return. But you must play that position to earn promotion. True success isn't hitting the lottery or getting lucky with your first song. When success comes too easily, a hard fall usually follows. Most lottery winners end up back where they started because they never learned how to earn millions, so they can't sustain making millions. Time is the most precious resource on earth, more valuable than diamonds, gold, or platinum. It's the only thing you can never acquire more of, regardless of how much money you possess. How you choose to spend your time represents the most important decision you'll ever make. Ross doesn't waste his time. He rises and grinds every day. To succeed, you must think like a boss, even if you're starting at the bottom. Be the CEO of your life by conducting regular self-performance reviews. What are your strengths and weaknesses? How effectively are you spending your time? Every day gives you 24 hours that don't roll over. Once gone, they're gone forever. Write down everything you spend time on daily. Then compare it to how your best self would allocate those same hours. The gap between these two realities reveals what changes you need to make. If you aren't willing to make changes, don't expect your situation to change. While using time wisely, don't become obsessed with timing. Rome wasn't built in a day. Hustling hard doesn't mean moving fast. It means moving correctly. Sometimes the heaviest tank moves slowest. Ross learned this lesson when he rushed his creative process and released Hood Billionaire too quickly after another album, resulting in his lowest first-week sales ever. Stay patient, even when it's difficult. Every success has its own timeline. Focus on laying bricks daily rather than wondering when your empire will be complete. The when is beyond your control. Ironically, Ross almost gave up right before his breakthrough.
After performing at a small club in Fort Myers for just $250, his friend fell asleep driving them home and flipped Ross's Escalade. Ross ended up in jail on an outstanding warrant while his friend scrambled for bail money. Sitting in that cell, he questioned everything. 10 years of struggle with little to show. What he didn't know was that hustling and his big break were just around the corner. Never put deadlines on your dreams. Saying, "I'll quit if I don't make it by 30," shows you don't want it badly enough. If you truly love something, make it your life. Smash that hourglass and commit fully. As much as Ross enjoyed mowing his own grass during lockdown, he recognized this wouldn't be the best use of his time once normal life resumed. While he stays hands-on with all his businesses, he can't do everything himself. As an artist and entertainer first, he needs to focus on what he does best and delegate other tasks to people he trusts. Ross has assembled an incredible team, from his mother Ella and sister Renee, who are his most trusted confidants, to Yvette, MMG's general manager, Lex, handling promotions and branding, DJ Sam Sneak, Slab, his hype man, Jetter K, road manager, security personnel, property managers, and his legal team. This team forms the backbone of his empire. If even one vertebrae is out of alignment, the whole body suffers. Ross carefully selects who surrounds him because your network directly affects your net worth. Unlike many celebrities who go broke supporting unproductive associates, Ross only keeps people around who bring something valuable to the table. He hires friends and family, but only those who share his work ethic. He empowers his people, like when he brought his group Triple C's with him to the major leagues, and when he supported artists like Meek Mill and Wale as they grew into bosses themselves. Ross doesn't just stack personal victories, he helps others succeed too. If he ever went broke, which he laughs at, his people would be fine. His mother owns rental properties, his sister runs B&J Auto Sales, and everyone in his circle has built their own wealth. When the government was issuing $1,200 stimulus checks during the pandemic, Ross reflected on financial responsibility. While he appears extravagant with his 235-acre estate, 350,000-gallon pool, luxury cars, jewelry, and horses, he's always been strategically minded. The promised land was purchased at a significant discount and has been monetized through film productions like Superfly and Coming to America. His assets far outweigh his liabilities. He's never bought something he couldn't afford twice. When Ross received his seven-figure Def Jam advance, he didn't splurge immediately. For 9 months, he pretended that money didn't exist, kept working and saving. Only after Port of Miami debuted at number one did he make his first major purchase, a studio house in Atlanta that he still owns. Having seen Miami hustlers get fast money and lose it faster, like Uncle Luke, going from platinum albums to bankruptcy, Ross was determined to avoid that fate. The pandemic reminded everyone how crucial it is to have a rainy day fund. Most people live paycheck to paycheck, but everyone should identify unnecessary expenses to build savings. Storms are inevitable in life. That's why Ross titled his first memoir, Hurricanes. Financial freedom provides peace of mind, so focus on stacking paper, building assets, and developing passive income streams. Work leads to money, money leads to assets, assets lead to wealth. Ross recently acquired a military-grade Humvee befitting his status as the five-star general of Maybach Music Group, planning to customize it with Louis Vuitton leather seats and possibly even a 50-caliber Gatling gun. He also expanded security at the Promised Land with two Belgian Malinois guard dogs, K9 Doc and K9 Midas. This wasn't in response to any specific incident, but preparation for future possibilities. Times of peace are when you prepare for battle. Think chess, not checkers. A chess master anticipates every possible move and has counterattacks ready. Being war-ready means having contingency plans and being prepared not just for storms but for opportunities too. A once-in-a-lifetime chance is worthless if you're not positioned to capitalize on it. When boxer Adrian Broner visited, he shared how his career suffered from lack of preparation, getting heavy between fights and then focusing on making weight rather than studying opponents. The best fighters stay in elite shape year-round, ready for unexpected opportunities. After George Floyd's murder in Minneapolis, Ross felt compelled to act when protests erupted near the Promised Land. Having witnessed police brutality throughout his life, he wasn't surprised, but felt this moment was different. As National Guard troops were deployed, he drove his Humvee downtown in solidarity with protesters. He prayed for peace, but was prepared for whatever might come. Master P's gold tank in the Make 'Em Say video symbolized something profound for Ross. At 22, while hustling in Miami streets, Ross witnessed P's rise from New Orleans' Calliope projects as federal indictments closed in around Ross's own circle. P's transition from basketball prospect to entertainment mogul inspired Ross's own path. His partnership with Master P and James Fly Lindsay on Rap Snacks felt natural. Ross respected their black-owned business built from hip-hop culture. Now, his sweet chili lemon pepper chips and lobster bisque ramen are in 4,200 Walmart stores nationwide. What drives success isn't just talent, but ambition, that burning desire from within that keeps you going when others quit. Ross's proudest achievement at Maybach Music Group has been watching artists like Wale and Meek Mill succeed. He signed them based on talent alone, fortunately discovering they had the necessary ambition too. Not every artist Ross signed shared that drive, which has been frustrating. Despite others selling more records or charging more for features, Ross has accumulated more wealth because he outworked them all, touring every weekend for 15 years straight, only stopping briefly due to health issues when his mother insisted. As Thomas Edison said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Your hustle ultimately determines your salary. Ross is emotionally invested in everything he touches, from crafting intricate performances to meticulously overseeing album production to expanding business ventures like Wingstop and Luc Belair. His passion drives his success, but he's learned through hard lessons that unchecked emotions can derail even the most promising opportunities. Growing up in Carroll City's tough streets, quick and aggressive reactions weren't just common, they were essential survival mechanisms. Ross candidly admits to his hair trigger responses in those days, recalling instances where he'd physically confronted people before they even realized their transgression. These split-second decisions and street instincts served him well in an environment where hesitation could be dangerous, but they became serious liabilities as his career elevated him to new circles and responsibilities. The turning point came in 2008 when media outlets exposed his past employment as a correctional officer. Instead of approaching the situation strategically, Ross's immediate defensive reaction compounded the problem. He vehemently denied the truth, damaging his credibility, and then made matters worse when members of his entourage physically assaulted a blogger who covered the story. The legal and professional fallout from these emotional reactions taught him a crucial lesson. Emotional responses last moments, but their consequences can echo for years. This pattern repeated itself in other situations throughout his career. The loss of his lucrative Reebok endorsement deal over controversial lyrics and the backlash from dismissive comments about female artists in the industry served as expensive reminders of emotion's costly toll. Each incident reinforced the need for measured responses over reactive behavior. In the hood where Ross grew up, accountability wasn't a common virtue. Admitting mistakes was often seen as weakness. But through these experiences, he's developed a more nuanced approach to handling conflict and criticism. He's learned to pause, assess situations from multiple angles, and respond thoughtfully rather than react instinctively. This evolution in emotional management has become as crucial to his success as his musical talent or business acumen. Today, Ross emphasizes the importance of emotional intelligence in both creative and business decisions. He maintains his passionate approach to life while tempering it with strategic thinking, understanding that sustainable success requires balancing heart with head. This transformation from street smart survivor to sophisticated businessman exemplifies the power of emotional growth and self-awareness. Ross recently opened his 25th Wingstop in Clarksdale, Mississippi, his hometown. This wasn't just business, it was bringing 20 jobs to his city, revitalizing an abandoned historic building as a Black-owned business, and showing local youth they can rise above their circumstances. He's selective about brand partnerships, saying no more often than yes. Unlike Evander Holyfield, whose business ventures failed because they didn't align with his personal brand, everything Ross does is consistent with who he is. He got into wine and spirits because alcohol connects with his nightlife scene. He started Wingstop because people know he loves to eat. His beard oil line makes sense because of his legendary beard. His sports agency partnership aligns with his football background. Ross works on things he's passionate about, so it never feels like work. When you stop viewing work as something you have to do versus something you look forward to, you get different results. Hustling becomes an opportunity, not an obligation. As Ross puts it, your bedroom is your office. 25 Wingstops in, Ross is still learning. A real boss always remains a student, regardless of past success. They know they don't have everything figured out and must constantly innovate as times change. When Wingstop stock tripled during the pandemic, Ross realized he was missing opportunities in the stock market. Growing up, his parents only invested in real estate. They wanted their money to have a physical address they could touch. While he's maintained that mindset and never lost money in real estate, seeing Wingstop's stock jump made him reconsider his strategy. Avoiding complacency is crucial. The moment you think you've figured everything out, you set a ceiling for yourself. With a beginner's mindset, you're always learning and improving. In music, Ross works with up-and-coming artists to stay current. In 2010, he embraced 19-year-old Lex Luger's production style, creating his second signature sound with tracks like BMF and MC Hammer. Like Jay-Z, he recognized hip-hop as a young man's game, so he's diversified into business. Ross recently launched Collins Ave Cannabis with Burner's Cookies, creating three strains, Collins Ave Indica, Lemon Pepper Sativa, and Pink Rosé Hybrid. Rather than just licensing his name, he wanted to learn how to build a vertically integrated cannabis company from Burner, who built cookies from a bud tender position to a $500 million empire. Having a beginner's mindset will take you far in this fast-paced world. If you can't learn, adapt, and evolve, you'll end up extinct. Ross and Brett built their Luc Belaire partnership on patience and vision. Even before their formal agreement, Ross promoted the brand relentlessly, sending free bottles to music industry contacts, featuring it in videos, rapping about it, and creating the hashtag Black Bottle Boys movement with coveted Letterman jackets as status symbols. Speaking dreams into existence has been Ross's practice since childhood. In third grade, he wrote Where the Hoes At about exploits with women at Miami high schools, despite being a 9-year-old virgin. He promotes John Deere tractors now without sponsorship because he's manifesting future partnerships. He set intentions for sports franchise ownership, automotive partnerships, and airline collaborations. Their Luc Belaire partnership thrived for 8 years, becoming the top-selling French rose in America. When the pandemic shut down clubs, their main sales channel, they pivoted to retail, strengthening relationships with independent stores through Zoom calls with distributors. Ross committed to supporting these small businesses through personal engagement, regardless of audience size, recording promotional shout-outs, and boosting employee morale during difficult times. People constantly ask to work for Ross, but he first checks if they're already promoting his brands. Don't approach him holding competitors' products. That's a fast way to lose his attention. Sam Sneak became his official DJ after Ross heard he played Hustlin' so many times at Diamond's Cabaret that he got suspended, all without being asked or paid. Don't beg for opportunities. Create value that makes you impossible to ignore. Put MMG Brand Ambassador in your bio and start working. Ross appreciates initiative. He encourages young entrepreneurs to send him clothing samples, XXL, and often posts products from those who can't afford sponsored posts because he respects their hustle. Ross holds himself to these same standards. When Brett wasn't ready to partner on Luke Belair, Ross didn't wait. He promoted it like he already had a stake. He focuses on what if it goes right rather than fearing failure. By demonstrating his value before negotiations, he secured maximum terms when they finally formalized their partnership. A win-win sealed with glasses of Belair.